You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
I warned Billy last night. I told him, Zach, you got the drop on, right? I said, but now that I know that you're going to do introductions like that, I have time for rebuttal if necessary. But I don't know that it's necessary. I will say that when Billy asked if I would speak and then he told me that the goal was to be encouraging, I said, and you want me to do that? And he said, well, you're lighthearted. And I said, well, that's different than encouraging, I think. I said, I often am unserious and unhelpful, and I like to joke around and mainly screw things up for people. I like to needle people and have a little fun and see what they'll do. But I don't know that an encouraging falls into any of those things. But he didn't change his mind, so here I am. You're stuck with me now. The next note that I'll make, if you've seen me speak before, generally on Wednesday night, I normally come with like a handful of little outline notes, and that's it. And I kind of freewheel the rest, but I see that Zach was typing notes up just like Billy typed his notes up, so I got 4 pages of notes here, everything typed right out. And then Billy informed me that since Zach was 3 minutes short of the allotted time, I have as much extra time as I need. So we'll see how far we go. Tonight we will be in Psalm chapter 34. Hopefully that sounds familiar to you because the song that we have been singing for, I don't know, the last month is all out of Psalm 34. So it should seem semi-familiar to you when we start through it. Before we get started though, I will open in prayer. Lord, we're grateful to be here this evening, albeit on the stage rather than a chair, I pray. Lord, that you would use me as your instrument. Lord, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth would be honorable to you, that they would be true. Lord, I pray for the folks in the chairs this evening that you would soften their hearts and open their ears, that they indeed would be encouraged from your word. I pray that they would leave this place glorifying you and thinking of you in a new light. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Amen. Okay, Psalm 34, there's a little bit of a screwball start to this, okay? So depending on how your Bible does this, it may include this little heading in the first verse, or it may have it separate, but it will generally say something to the effect of a Psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. In my Bible, it's actually part of the first verse. In some Bibles, it's separate. Okay, so it's giving you like a little bit of setting, a little bit of history, and I want to dive into that for a minute so that we understand David's frame of mind when he's saying what he's about to say. So there's going to be a short, pointless part of this. There's no points in this part of it. So we're going to go back and look in 1 Samuel. It's chapter 21, verses 10 through 15, and then the very first verse of the next chapter of 22. So I'm going to read those to you quick and kind of give you a frame of mind of where David's at, right? So starting in verse 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. First thing you probably noticed there was in the version that I just read, it said Abimelech, this one says Achish, same guy, okay? Just FYI. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam, where his brethren and all his father's house heard it. They went down thither to him. Okay, so the description is this, all right? If you know the story of David, essentially he is anointed by Samuel as a young child that he's going to be the king someday. He gets called to serve Saul in Saul's household, but Saul essentially begins to be jealous of David. He knows that David is going to displace him someday, and he starts to hate David and want to kill him, so he puts him in all these bad situations, hoping that he'll be killed. That doesn't happen, so he finally comes to the point where it's just out and out, I'm ready to kill this guy, bring him to me. So David flees, okay? So David's already on the run in his own country from the king and goes into the neighboring country where they bring him to the king and they say, hey, wait a second, isn't this that great warrior? And so they bring him to the king. David is scared now for his life from this king, so he acts like he's out of his mind. He acts insane, okay, is what happens. The king says, why'd you bring this madman in front of me? What? Get him out of here. And they send him away, and he flees, so his life is saved. Okay, so that jumps back into Psalm 34. That little heading, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. That's what it's talking about. David's essentially acted like he's crazy to save his own life, and he's escaped with his life. Okay, but he's still on the run, right? Okay, that being said, we have the setting. We have now sort of where David's at. So let's start through the pointed part of the sermon. Point one, personal praise. We're going to read that first verse again, with the exception of the part that we've just dove into. So the first part of that verse says, I bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Seems like it could be a strange thing at this point in time, maybe, for David to be saying. He's on the run for his life from his own country, from his own king. He's narrowly escaped death at the hands of the neighboring country that they're normally fighting with. And this is what he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise shall continually be in my mouth. How does he get there? Right? David has decided that in all circumstances, ups or downs, good or bad, he's going to praise the Lord. Continually. That's a whole separate thing, isn't it? Continually, always, every day, every night. How do you think David gets there from this frame of mind of on the run for his life? Imagine, he knows that he's supposed to be the king someday. Is this the trajectory? It's maybe seemed right at first. He's serving the king in the king's house. He's growing sort of in fame. He becomes a great warrior. He's winning all these battles. Things seem to be headed right where you would think that he needs to be. And then things take a hard left turn, and now he's literally running for his life. And he says, I will praise the Lord at all times. It's about his mindset, right? It's about his perspective, isn't it? David has realized something that oftentimes we need to be reminded of, and that's that God is in charge of everything at all times. There's one thing that generally gets in the way of us praising the Lord at all times, and that's us. That's me. That's my pride. See, because whether I'm low, whether I'm in a hard time, and I don't see a solution, this is what goes through my mind. I say, well, I got this problem, and I've did all the things I know how to do, and I've battled it, all the ways that I know how to battle it, and I can't solve the problem, therefore, this problem can't be solved. That's a pride problem, right? That's me getting in my own way. Opposite side, there's two ditches on every road. If I don't go in that ditch, I go in the other ditch, right? Things are going amazing. Things are going good. Who do I give the credit to? Normally me. Normally I get the I dids. How's things going? They're going great because I did this and I did that and it worked out this way and it's all what I did, right? So either way, whichever ditch we run into, it generally is we get in our own way, pride that keeps us from praising the Lord all the time. So David, we see here, is an example on one end of that spectrum, isn't it? He's low. Is there a great reason right now to be praising the Lord for him? It doesn't seem like it. You would read the story and you'd think that, well, he kind of saved his own life. He acts crazy and it works, and he escapes with his life. But who does he give credit to? To the Lord. David has esteemed God correctly. He has put God in God's proper place, and as he has esteemed himself correctly, he has put himself in the proper place, hasn't he? He says, God is in control, and God has been good. Therefore, I will praise God at all times. Personal praise. There's some other verses I want to jump to that are sort of reminders that I'll sort of trigger this for us. James 1:7 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This is one that Billy loves to quote all the time. Every good gift is from above. Billy always says, every good thing is from God and every bad thing is from me. And that's true, isn't it? That's true in our lives. Every good thing that happens to us is a gift from God, and we sort of twist things up and screw things up a lot, but we can take the credit for that, right? So when things are going good, give God the credit. Every good gift is from God. That's good times. How about bad times? James 1, 1 through 3 say, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." That's counterintuitive, right? So in bad times, count it all joy, because God's working things out. God is working things for our good, right? We don't tend to think that way, do we? How about another one? Romans 8:28. You may know this one. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Do we believe that to be true? All things work together for good. It's easy to see when good things work together for good. I got a promotion, my bank account's fat, I just got married, things are amazing, all these good things happen, and it's easy to say, boy, God's good, isn't he? But when times get hard, it's hard to look forward and see what God's going to do, isn't it? Well, God's working out something good. That takes a little faith, don't it? Things are hard right now. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. But God is going to work things out for good. Right? It's an element of faith involved, isn't there? The further along we get in life, the easier that becomes. I know, I think of my grandparents as great examples, that they seemed a little unshakable to me. No matter what was going on, they always had good attitudes. They always were praising the Lord, and it's because they were able to look backwards and see that God is good through all things. They were able to look back on hard times and say, boy, remember when we were going through that and it was tough, but look what God did, right? And it becomes easier and easier as we go to find that hope and to know that truly all things work together for good. Okay, so good times, bad times. Either way, we can praise the Lord, right? Should be able to praise the Lord if we believe that those verses are true. We just need a correct perspective, right? The second part of that verse, I think, is important to note. So it says, "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." So it's not just the mindset. David is of the correct mindset, right? So that he can praise all the time. But he actually is out loud praising the Lord all the time. Why is that important? Is there a difference between just, I'm thinking something, and when we let it out, when we verbalize? There is, isn't there? When we speak things, even to ourselves, it becomes more a little more solid, a little more true, doesn't it? We can feel it, we can tell it. When I think of this, I think again of my Grandpa Hopper. I think for as long as I knew him, when we were at his house, if you're at his house for a meal, he always prayed because he was the head of the house. And he always started his prayer the same way, and I'll never forget it. He would say, "We thank you again, Lord, for your love and your care." And then he would pray whatever he was going to pray. But every time he started with those words, and I knew that because for 25 years or whatever, that's how he always started. And then one day, in his like mid-70s somewhere, things changed. And I noticed straight away, because for 25 years, I heard him every time say the same thing. And his prayer changed this way. He would start out and say, "We thank thee again, Lord, for your love and your care and your goodness to us." And then he would pray about whatever he was going to pray about. And that struck me. It was important to me that to watch a man that had been a Christian that long and was maybe the greatest Christian in my life add on there, "and your goodness to us." Amen. Was because he was able at that age to look behind him and see that at all times God had been good to him. That's something, isn't it? And he verbalized that to himself. He wasn't praying for my benefit. That I guarantee, when I wasn't there for lunch, that's still how he prayed. Because he was verbalizing to himself that God is good, that God had supplied his need, that God loved him. He verbalized those things. He had his mind right about them, and he verbalized those things, okay? And that's what David's talking about here. So it is important, if we're to be encouraged in this life, in hard times or in good times, if we're going to be uplifted, number one, that we seek personal praise. And that's going to take getting our mind right and getting ourselves out of the way, right? All right, one verse down. Point number two, public praise. Psalm 34:2 says, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Very slight change, right? My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Now what is he talking about? How is this different than, so he said the praise would be in his mouth in the last one. That's sort of a private, personal hymn. Now he says, I'm going to boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. The way that we speak and the testimonies that we share with other people about God's goodness have an effect on the faith and the encouragement of others, don't they? When I think of that, I think of right here on Wednesday nights. Wednesday night is one of my favorite times to be in this church because for the first 20 minutes, half hour that we're in here, if you came into this and you hadn't been here before, you could be forgiven for thinking that we're just screwing around. There's generally a lot of laughing going on. There's a lot of people ribbing each other, having a good time. But it's also the time that we ask for, and Billy always phrases this, are there any testimonies of what the Lord is doing in your life this week? And it is my absolute favorite time to be in this place. I think of people like Lana, and I'm sure she won't care that I share this. Because a couple of times Lana has shared things going on in her life that were challenges, and she always ends with, but God is so good, and he's growing me. Amen. And a lot of times there'll be a tear in Lana's eye, and I'll bet you if you stand up here and look around, I'll bet you she's not the only one that has a tear in her eye when she says those things. Why? Because people are encouraged to hear what God is doing in other people's Amen. Lives. That's encouragement, not me joking around. Somebody sharing what God is doing that is good, right? I love that. I think also of Todd and Jenny. Again, I know they wouldn't care about me sharing. They've shared several times, it's been years ago now, about Boston and being in poor health for years, and they're seeking all the different things to try and get them better, and it's not happening, and it's not happening. And they sort of come, I would say, to the end of themselves. They're frustrated. There's nothing else for them to do. And so they're praying, and the church is praying. And the church prays at a prayer meeting one night, and within a week, things immediately tank, but then right back up. And I've heard, I want to say at least 4 or 5 times since then, this is years ago that this has happened, that they brought that up. That they've shared that testimony here in this building, that something in their life has caused them to think about the position that Boston used to be in, in the position that he is now in, because God is good. Amen. That's encouragement. Amen. That's what people need to hear, right? 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and give grace to the humble. I read that because I think there's another important part in this verse. The second half says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. 1 Peter says that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Did you notice there's a little requirement there? In order for your testimony to have a positive effect on another person, they're going to have to be humble. What does that teach us? It teaches us that in order to receive encouragement from another person, in order to receive the benefit of that good testimony, we need to be humble of heart. You see, it goes back to what we talked about in the first one. If I allow myself to be in the way, if I allow myself to believe that I am the only solution to the problems in my life, and Zach comes over to me and tells me about how good God has been to him, I say, what good is that to me? Good for you, Zach. I still got my problems to solve. Right? In order for me to be encouraged by Zach telling me what the Lord has done for him, I have to believe the Lord will do for me. I have to realize that I'm not the solution to my problems, that I don't have a hold of all this. Right? I will need to be humble. And it points that out to us. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Other people will be encouraged by your good testimony. Public praise. Okay? Notice that these build on one another. Personal praise, public praise. So first is getting our mind right, building that praise into our own heart and our own life, and then second is sharing that with other people. Okay? That one was quick, wasn't it? Don't worry, we'll get a long one at the end. Point number three, unified praise. I know what you're thinking. I screwed up the alliteration. Everybody knows that when you have multiple points in a sermon that you're supposed to stick with the same process of alliteration, right? Personal praise, double P, public praise, double P, and I went through a U at you. That doesn't fit in the notes. But I couldn't think of anything that started with a P to go for that, for unification. I couldn't work it out. I planned a long time, and then I thought, well, I could at least stick with two U's. I couldn't come up with anything for U's either, so if you think of something that has the two, if the alliteration come afterwards, let me know and I'll modify this, okay? But UP, I like it. Okay, unified praise. Next verse. Psalm 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." That's straight out of the song, isn't it, Carol? Is that what you just said? Straight out of the song. I love it. Wouldn't it be something if the way that we behaved every day, if the words that came out of our mouth just drew people right into loving the Lord with us? That's what it says here, isn't it? We went from David getting his heart right and being in a place of praise to David sharing that publicly to, as a group, let's magnify the Lord, right? Everyone's pulled in here. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I read that, and the word magnify to me is, I don't know, I didn't like it. I don't like that word in there. Because when I think of the word magnify, I went and looked up the definition to see, am I wrong on this? What's going on? And the word magnify comes up typically with three definitions. The first one and most popular says, to make something seem larger than it is. Plug that in there and see what you think. Oh, make the Lord seem larger than he is. Nah, I don't like that. That doesn't seem appropriate to me. It's not like we're out there telling untruths. We're not making things up. We're not trying to make the Lord seem like he's more than he is. Doesn't fit. Second definition, second most popular, says to increase or exaggerate the importance or effect of. Very similar to the first. Again, don't like that. That didn't seem... We're not out to exaggerate what the Lord has done in our life. We're not making things up, right? Not the point. Third definition, this one I did not know ever was in the word magnify. Obviously the correct one, and it says to praise highly or to glorify. Plug that one in there. Praise the Lord highly with me, or glorify the Lord with me. That's awesome, isn't it? To me, here's what is implied in this. What is implied in this is this. So David has got his heart and his mindset right, and he's praising the Lord first individually in his own life, okay? And then David begins public praise, which is encouraging to the people around him, it says. It says they are made happy. And then third, it says that they are now all magnifying the Lord together. To me, what this implies is that the other people that have seen David praise the Lord have now turned around and examined their own life and found reasons to praise the Lord along with David. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome if on Wednesday night Lana was brave enough to share something difficult, and not only did everyone get a little misty-eyed because they're so excited for Lana because we love her, but it made us a little bit inspired, and we were able to sat in the pew and we thought, maybe I should think a little bit harder about what's going on in my own life, shouldn't I? Maybe I need to reflect a little more often about how the Lord has been good to me and give praise to him. Exalt him, it says, that we need to lift him up high. Man, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? Imagine how people would be excited and encouraged around you. Just imagine if you came here on Wednesday night and we were in that so long that Bailey was like, come on, guys, I'm supposed to be preaching a sermon, but he couldn't get us to shut up about how good God is. Can you imagine that? Zach would love it because he's against Billy preaching. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it, but it seems to be the thing. But wouldn't that be something? You know? If we were that excited about how good God is, Amen. If we couldn't help but share to our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers, if they couldn't stand to hear you talk anymore because all you said is God is so good. It would be awesome, wouldn't it? How do we get there? Oh, flip two pages. You're almost done real early. You know what? Something just struck me. Hold on. Go flip your pages back. One. That third definition, to praise highly or to glorify. Group glorification. There's your alliteration. Okay, change. Scribble out your notes. Fix it. That just came to me. All right. I like it. Point number four, final note, taste and see. I know what you're thinking. I threw the alliteration out the window. I just got you focused on it, and then I just hard turn. I did that on purpose to you. Taste and see. And we're going to read the remaining four verses here. We're going through eight. I want you to pay careful attention to the progression of these verses because it's similar to the first verses that we've read. Psalm 34, 4 through 8 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Can you see the progression there again? I sought, they looked, them that fear him. You notice that growth? It increases in number, just like the first set of verses. First it's, I sought the Lord, then they, right? And then the final is, them that fear the Lord, everyone who fears the Lord, a group. So it builds just like the first ones did. Only this group shares one thing in common. Reliance on the Lord, right? If you read through those verses, I sought the Lord. He chases after the Lord, and the Lord heard me and delivered me. The second group, they looked unto him and were lightened. That would be, cheered up is the translation there, sort of. Okay? They looked to the Lord and were cheered. Then there's kind of a middle verse there that doesn't seem to fit very well for me. This poor man cried. It goes back to a singular. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. What's up with that? When I read through that one, it made me think of Billy's recent sermon on the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I look at that one in the middle, and I can't help but think that it sort of goes back to the humble note in the first one. It says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Do you think it means financially poor? There was a poor man with no money, and he cried, and the Lord helped him. Possible. Not what I think it's getting at. I think it is gearing us back to the idea that we alone are really destitute of the resources that we need. Amen. To help ourselves, aren't we? Amen. Particularly, I think it applies to salvation. I think that a man will not come to the Lord and seek salvation until he realizes that he does not, in and of himself, have the ability to do it. Amen. Right? It's exactly what Billy talked about when he said the poor in spirit. It wasn't talking about financial. It wasn't talking about that frame of mind that we often think it. Until a man realizes that he has no power to save himself, he will not pursue that salvation in another place. Why is that in the middle of this? It's still the basis for all of us, isn't it? We will not choose to rely on the Lord until we know that we can't do it. Oftentimes, especially when we're young and we're healthy, we think, I'll grab hold of this problem. I'll fix this. You let me know what it takes, and I'm on it. It takes some time, and it takes some problems before we realize, I can't fix all my problems. I actually can't fix any of my problems. That the Lord is the one that I depend on for all things at all times. It's something, isn't it? So what produces the ability to have praise in our life? What produces this encouragement ultimately is dependence. It is ultimately coming to the place where we depend on the Lord, because that's the only place that you will find a sure foundation where you're able to say at all times, God is good. Doesn't matter what's happening to me today, I can look and see, based on past experience, based on the shared testimony of my neighbor, that God will work all things out for good. He will do it. So how do we get to this place of praise? Taste and see, it says. That last verse says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Again, I look at words. I'm always trying to imagine. I'm very logically minded, and I look at things, and I always try and play out examples in my mind, okay? So this taste and see, and it made me think of myself, honestly. I got a story that I don't want to share with you, but I'm going to share with you because I think it's a good analogy. I love pie, okay? Billy already made reference to my love for sweets and desserts, and my favorite above all else is pie, okay? What kind of pie, doesn't matter. Fruit pie, cream pie, whatever. Whatever you got, pie. I'm going to choose it above everything else all time. So my wife is very kind, and she'll make pies often. And sometimes this is what happens. She will say, "How would you like a piece of blueberry pie?" And I would love one. And she will cut me up a piece of blueberry pie and slide it onto the counter. And she's going to turn around and take care of the pie, because that's who she is. And I think the scientific term is probably woof. I will woof down that piece of pie. Three bites, boom, pie gone, okay? And she turns around from the refrigerator and goes, "How was the pie?" And she sees a little deer in the headlights, look like, "I think it must have been good." Because I ate it so fast, I'm going to be dead honest with you. I have no idea how the pie was. Okay? What's the analogy? How often do we go through life? Boy, we'll pray about problems for a long time, won't we? We'll pray for years about problems. And we get an answer to prayer, and the Lord moves. Something amazing happens in our life. How often do we stop and taste that? For how long will we bring that praise up on Wednesday night? How many times will we raise our hand and say, "The Lord has been good to me again. Remember that thing 2 years ago? I'm still not going to shut up about it because I prayed about it for 4 years." We don't do that, do we? So many times God is good to us and we go, woof, and it's gone and we're on to the next problem, don't we? I know I do it. There's something else that my wife does sometimes. If she runs out of ingredients in the kitchen, she'll make do, okay? Sometimes she'll tell me what she did, and sometimes she won't. Sometimes she'll give me that piece of pie, and she'll say, "Something's different. Let me know what you think." How do you think I eat that piece of pie? I chew it slow, don't I? Trying to figure out what in the world's going on. Sometimes I know, sometimes I don't. But I taste that pie. If we expect to have a heart of praise, if we expect that we're going to have a testimony to share with our friends and neighbors, or here on Wednesday night, we're going to have to spend some time, aren't we? Looking inward. We're going to have to spend some time surveying our life and saying, "What is the Lord doing in my life today?" It makes me think again of my grandpa. In this prayer, every time that he ate, he would say, "Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to me." Do we that often? Look at our life and see that the Lord has been good to us. I mean, actually stop and look and give Him credit for the good things in our life. I know I got work to do. I don't know about you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You can close your Bible. We're all done. That's the final point. I don't make you close your eyes, but this is the part where we look at the carpet, right? Mrs. Martini would probably come to the piano, start to play. And I'm a lot like Zach. I was troubled for some time thinking about how to be encouraging. Well, how am I supposed to be encouraging? I tend to bring a challenge. I tend to read the scripture and say, boy, that's something I got to work on. And I suspect that there's a chance that you probably do too. And when I went through this sermon, it made me think of three groups of people. This probably hits three different ways. And I think first of the unsaved person. Boy, if you don't come to the end of yourself, if you can't see that all the struggle and all the effort and all the things you're fighting through, you can't do it. You need to throw yourself at the Lord's feet. You will be amazed how good God is. Group number two are people that we typically think need encouragement, the people that are low. You're a saved person, but life does not seem easy. Maybe there's struggles at work, maybe it's in your marriage, maybe it's your bank account, I have no idea. But life just seems difficult. Again, will you throw yourself at His feet and allow Him to work? Doesn't mean the problems will be finished today, but you will see that if you turn it over to the Lord, that He is good, that He will take care of you. Billy and Zach both spoke about how the Lord was our rock, our strong tower, our salvation, our Savior. Here it says that He encampeth about those who fear Him. That at all times the Lord is defending you and He is seeking your good. That's group number two. Group number three. Maybe life is amazing right now. Maybe it's so good you can't hardly stand it. There's a temptation, I guarantee, for you to think that it's because of what you've done. Because you are smart, because you're a hard worker, because you married the right person, because whatever. I beg of you, throw yourself at the Lord's feet and see that He has been good to you. I don't know what group you're in. Only you and the Lord know that. Isn't it interesting that regardless of the group that you're in, that the solution is the same? That we need to shut our pride down and lay ourselves at the Lord's feet. That daily we would look to Him and see that He has been good to us. I'll close in prayer if the worship team comes. Oh, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit moves in this place. That people leave, yes, challenged. Challenged, Lord, to survey their life and see what it is that You have done for them. But also encouraged that they might go home and that they might recount the many good things that are in their life. the many good things that have been shared with them by others, and that they might be encouraged, that they might, Lord, be drawn to a place of praise. That they would seek, Lord, to magnify you and you alone. And that when we return to this place, that we would, Lord, it would be unstoppable, the praise that comes from our lips. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to taste and see that you indeed are good. We love you. Amen.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.